Our second reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Listen now for the Word of God. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Sibling rivalry makes for good entertainment. Classic cases include Lucy and Linus, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie Simpson, Venus and Serena Williams, and Peyton and Eli Manning. Sibling rivalry makes for good entertainment. It is always interesting as long as you are not one of the siblings in the midst of it. To this day, no one other than John knows how to get a rise out of me like my sister. Fortunately, no one runs to my defense faster either, so it balances out. Sibling rivalry is as old as humanity. Given that the first siblings we meet in Scripture are Cain and Abel, and Cain murders Abel, this spat between Mary and Martha seems pretty small. Siblings are part of families, and family is a loaded word. For some, the word family is pure joy. For others, it's nothing but hurt. For most of us, the word family is more complicated than that. We all have families, even those among us with no contact with our families. Those relationships still shape us. The emotional connections rooted in our families determine a lot about who we are, for better or for worse. And if it's for worse, it takes some serious work to change. This is week two of looking at family feuds together in worship. When thinking about family feuds in Scripture, we've got no shortage of biblical examples. King David's children did unspeakable things. Eli, the priest, his sons are described as scoundrels. Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. And then, in a crazy twist, he is later in power and has them arrested. The list of feuding families in the Bible goes on and on. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are a sibling set in the New Testament. They have the distinction of being Jesus' friends. Compared to some of the other siblings in Scripture, the dynamics we see in today's text really aren't that bad. No one kills anyone. The drama is pretty low. Nonetheless, this story with only five verses gets told and retold and preached on and taught with regularity. This brief glimpse into this family's life captivates us. I preached on it just back in November. Usually the focus of a lesson or a sermon is on the difference between the two sisters, but today I want us to look at something different. Every time I've studied this passage for teaching or for preaching, I'm struck by how much I relate to and feel badly for Martha. I think a lot of us are in this position. Here she is working hard and no one seems to care. How many of us have been there? In almost every commentary or study note I read, there's this assumption that Martha is working in the kitchen in order to offer hospitality to the guests. This would have been her role as the hostess and as a woman. This assumption is based on scholarship and history, but it is still an assumption. Nowhere does the text mentioned food or the kitchen. For today, I tried to look only at what is in the text, not at whatever emotional connection I might feel to Martha, and not any explanation I've picked up over time. And when I did this, particularly while thinking about family feuds, I noticed something about Martha that makes her a little less sympathetic. Martha takes her frustration with her sister, and instead of addressing Mary, she tries to triangulate Jesus. Now, every family has its quirks. One way that my growing up was quirky is that for a season, my dad, who is a pastor, for a season his ministry was with a children's home, and so he'd come home and work through family counseling ideas on us. One of the things we did was talk about triangles. When there was a dinner table argument with me and my sister, and then with us trying to pull in our parents, he would take out some paper and pen and draw a triangle. The corner of each of my dad's triangles were labeled P for persecutor, V for victim, R for rescuer, and he'd say something like, "Catherine, you're being the victim and making Beth the persecutor, but you will not pull me in as a rescuer." Then he'd go on to talk about how the dynamics of a triangle are always changing and a rescuer can become a victim and so on. Exasperated, we would try to get him to stop talking so we could get back to arguing. It was horribly annoying, as you can imagine. Nonetheless, it became part of our family vocabulary, and now all of us are quite big on spotting triangles. While together at the beach a few weeks ago, and in the midst of a debate about grocery lists and dinner menus, my sister dramatically raised her arms and announced, "I will not be triangulated over this." I think that at the time we were talking about ice cream, which is really high-stakes stuff. The dynamic in our passage is that Martha tries to triangulate Jesus. She plays the victim. "No one will help me." And the persecutor, Mary, she's the bad one. In it all, she wants Jesus to rescue her. I have been there too. I was there with my family growing up. It's not fair that Beth gets to stay up later. Been there in my family now. Why am I the one washing all the bottles? I've been there at church. Why am I the one doing X, Y, or Z? And in it, all the questions are valid, but the issue isn't the validity of the questions. It's the motivation in asking. Mary wanted Jesus to rescue her. And Jesus did come to rescue her and us, but not from the arguments we have with our siblings or parents or children or the people at work or school or the people next to you in the pew. God did not come to live with us to keep me from washing sippy cups or to rescue you from having to pay bills. God's incarnation is so much more. And in this instance, he refuses to let Martha triangulate him. Now, Jesus did come to rescue us. He came to save us from sin and death and the lies that the world tells us. And the arguments we have certainly matter, and he does care. And obviously, if we are talking about abusive relationships, it is different. But run-of-the-mill arguments over who is doing their share of the hospitality, that's not why God took on flesh and came to earth. And Jesus isn't having any part of it in today's story. I wonder what would have happened if Martha instead would have gone to her sister and said, "Mary, I am really angry with you right now." And out there, like most sisters, Mary probably would have gotten defensive, but she also would have appreciated the directness of it. And after a strong retort, she would have helped or encouraged Martha to sit down too. Or what if Martha had gone to Jesus and said, "Lord, I am frustrated because I'm working hard and no one seems to care." Now, this would have been highly unusual for a woman to say to Jesus, but it was unusual for Jesus to visit a home where women were in charge, which is what's happening here. The friendship Jesus shared with these sisters was unusual for that time, and yet it was well known and understood as part of normal life for them because it's recorded here and again in John's gospel. If Martha had done that, had gone to Mary or Jesus and been honest, the response might have been the same, but I don't think it would have stung so much because she might have heard Jesus say, "I think you should sit down too," instead of, "You've got it all wrong." How we communicate with each other and with God matters. In our homes and relationships, talking directly is always the better choice. And in our relationship with God, God wants our honesty, our directness, not our halfway attempts to communicate by talking through or about someone else. If you have something to say to God, say it. I am confident that God can handle it. You may not get the response you want, but in talking with God, you will deepen your relationship. Amen.